The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but the one who does not believe is condemned already for not having believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, today is called Laetare Sunday, from the first words of the introit, the ancient hymn that began the Mass, "Rejoice, O Jerusalem." It is meant to be a break, a real break, from the penances of Lent, which in times past were much more rigorous and demanding than they are now. And so, while every Sunday, as I've already explained to you, is a day when we are free from the promises we've made, the resolutions we've made to give up something good for Lent. So Sundays are the day that you can have the extra piece of cake, the dessert, the coffee, the martini, whatever it may be. But if you gave up gossiping or arguing or cursing, you don't get a day off. This Sunday is meant to be a special day for everyone of joy. Now, the most obvious sign of this is that instead of wearing the deep purple or violet colored vestments, the church is clothed in rose. Please note, not pink, rose. Now, this is meant to signify the first light of dawn, just as the blue-purple night gives way to dawn, and we see streaks of rose color across the horizon. So we are looking forward to the resurrection of Jesus and remembering that every Sunday is a sharing in his resurrection. When we come to the altar, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the risen and glorious Christ in heaven. So today, the vestment color changes. The music of the Mass changes. It's meant to be more joyful. And we can use the organ or other instruments without singing. For the rest of Lent, we don't use the instruments solo. They can only accompany the human voice. But on this day, we can use them alone. And finally, flowers might be used on the altar. So all of this is meant to be for us a lifting up of our minds and our hearts towards God. And it's the origin of many holidays, days off for workers, because in ancient times, beginning in the Middle Ages, servants would be given the day off to go home to their families, and no work even in the great households was done. So it is a day that has a long, lovely line of traditions attached to it. But what is the source of this joy for us? And what does joy mean? Joy is something deeper than happiness. Happiness is found in our emotions, but joy is found in our will. It comes from resting in the truth and resting in goodness. It comes from the conviction that we are doing the right thing, even though it may be difficult for us, and even though we might be going through some suffering or sorrow to to be loyal and faithful to what we believe in. It's not simply the conviction of being right, it's the conviction of being in the right, being one with truth. Now, we see this today through the gospel, which presents us with a conversation that our Lord had with Nicodemus. The name Nicodemus is always linked to that of Joseph of Arimathea, and we think of the two of them on Good Friday, because they were among the very few loyal friends of Christ. They kept their friendship and their loyalty secret until that day, because they were prominent leaders of the Jewish people, and they did not want to enter into opposition to the high priests by proclaiming their faith in Jesus. But we see their loyalty on that day of the crucifixion because they are the ones who go to Pilate to ask for the body of Christ so that they may bury him. Joseph of Arimathea supplies the tomb, and Nicodemus the shroud and the myrrh and aloes to place upon his body. But before that day, Nicodemus had come to Christ secretly on at least one, perhaps several occasions. He came to talk with him so that Jesus could explain to him personally his mission and so that all of Nicodemus's questions could be answered. Nicodemus came by night in the darkness to receive the light, and the light shone brightly in his heart ever after. We hear our Lord's words today to Nicodemus, and the first of them, which makes a great impact on us, is this. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now Jesus is talking about his own crucifixion, his own death on the cross, but he's comparing his death on the cross to something very mysterious that happened to the Jewish people during their Exodus journey when they came out of Egypt into the freedom of the promised land. At one point, in punishment for their infidelities to God, they were attacked by venomous serpents that bit them and caused many to become sick and some even to die. Moses prayed to God and asked for mercy on the people, and his prayer was heard. But God instructed him to do something that was very strange. He had him cast an image of one of the serpents in bronze and mount it on a pole shaped like a T and carry it among the people. And God said, whenever the people looked upon the serpent, they would be healed. Now, this was very odd. It seems something like idolatry. And furthermore, why look at the image of the very thing that caused the problem? But you see, it was meant to be a kind of a prophecy, an obscure image of Jesus on the cross. On the cross, our Lord was not beautiful. He had none of the handsomeness of face or figure that were his. He became repugnant because of the horrible wounds with which he was covered and because of the awful death that he was suffering. The Jews had a particular horror of dying by hanging or crucifixion. And in the Old Testament we read, "Cursed be he that hangs from a tree." Our Lord came to earth, though, to take all that curse and all that evil and all of the burdens of sin and of the wrongs that men do to one another onto himself and die the death of a hero to save us, to bring us safely to God. And so we look on the crucifix in a different way. We look upon the crucifix and don't simply see an image of death. We see an image of love and heroism and of victory. And when we place crosses upon our graves as markers, We do so in the firm hope that the cross is our way to life. It's our way to everlasting life. So Jesus now reveals this to Nicodemus. He has begun to speak about his passion to his disciples, and they've been confused by our Lord's words and rejected them. But Nicodemus receives them, he listens, and then he hears something else, something that is also magnificent. For Jesus speaks about his Father's love. For God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. Wonderful words. Words that you and I rely on, as have generations of Catholics and other Christians before us. Words that we repeat and that we treasure. And they were spoken first to Nicodemus, who went by night to find the truth. And after the resurrection, he passed these words on to the apostles, to John the Evangelist. And so St. John has recorded them for us in his gospel so that you and I can cherish them, so that we can listen and remember and ponder and live in this truth, so that when our days are difficult and our own crosses are heavy and we're conscious of our own failures and perhaps the failures of others, we can rely on them, we can repeat them, and we can have joy deep within our souls. So today's gospel is an important one, and today's Mass, today's Sunday, a powerful one. No matter how many times we may have failed in our Lenten resolutions, we have reason to begin again. No matter how many times we have sinned, we rise, for Christ's mercy is never exhausted. His forgiveness is everlasting and infinite. And the more that we come to understand this and experience it in our own lives, the better able we will be to live happily and to leave this world in faith and find in the next the fulfillment of our every hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.